Nevada is a big player in renewable energy, but while it ranks among the top five states for both solar and geothermal energy production, it lags well behind in wind energy production, where it falls 33rd. This fact surprised KUNR's Benjamin Payne, who last year moved to Reno from his native Illinois. That state boasts more than 50 wind farms. Nevada, on the other hand, has only one. He decided to look into this gap and figure out why wind makes up such a small sliver of Nevada's energy mix.
Shouldn't the Silver State have more wind farms than the Prairie State? After all, Nevada is plenty spacious, with about twice the land area as Illinois. On top of that, it can get quite windy in Washoe County and the foothills of the Sierra Nevada Mountains. Mark Twain even wrote about it in his book, Roughing It. Here's an excerpt.
But seriously, a Washoe wind is by no means a trifling matter. It blows flimsy houses down, lifts shingle roofs occasionally, rolls up tin ones like sheet music, now and then blows a stagecoach over and spills the passengers.
And it turns out that's part of the problem.
The winds tend to be gusty and not consistent. So we'll get really high winds, but not good, solid, sustainable winds that you would see in the Midwest through the plains.
That's Rebecca Wagner. She's a renewable energy consultant based in Reno, who used to direct the Nevada Governor's Office of Energy from 2005 to 2006. Strong gusts on a wind farm might seem ideal, like a clear, sunny sky on a solar farm, but they're anything but. A gust can overwhelm a turbine to the point of tearing apart its rotors. That's why turbines are built with brakes to protect them. A gust of 35 to 40 miles an hour is enough to grind the turbine to a halt. Sure, that prevents damage, but it also prevents power from being generated. When it comes to wind, too much of a good thing is a bad thing. Wagner also used to serve on the Public Utilities Commission of Nevada. It was her job to review proposals from energy companies that wanted to set up shop in the state. While lots of proposals for solar plants and geothermal plants came to her desk,
we just weren't getting wind projects proposed, and if they were proposed, they were not cost competitive with the other resources.
Take solar. Sunlight is pretty much everywhere. Yes, some areas are better and brighter than others for setting up a solar farm, but wind? You have to go far and wide to find those good, consistent winds that Wagner talked about.
They're in relatively isolated spots.
That's Daryl Pepper. He's a mechanical engineering professor at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Back in the 90s, he analyzed data from several towers across the state, each one about 15 stories high. Basically, souped up weather vanes to detect windy hotspots. He did find some hotspots, but
those sites that we found were pretty difficult or almost impossible to try to get to. What you also have to factor in, of course, is the cost of installation and the fact that you need to get some pretty heavy equipment in there to actually set up the turbines. It's really not a question of the technology. It's a question of the economics.
With the basin and mountain terrain, we just get a lot of wind gusts that make very few sites in Nevada viable for large commercial wind turbines.
That's Jason Geddes. Right now, he oversees renewable energy projects for the Washoe County School District. But about 10 years ago, when he worked for the Reno City government, he wanted to try something out. If Nevada isn't a good fit for large wind farms, he thought, perhaps smaller turbines could work, and maybe even slash the city's energy bill. So Geddes oversaw a pilot program that installed 8 turbines on different government properties, like City Hall, which got a couple. Those two disappointed him.
They were rated at 1.5 kW by the manufacturer, and when we got them into production, they were closer to 300 watts.
That's one-fifth the power of what was advertised by the manufacturer.
Despite the claims that they work in an urban environment, they don't.
That's because when buildings are in close proximity, as they are in the city, they form a sort of barricade that disrupts the wind's natural patterns. Either the wind blows too hard, in the case of high-rises and skyscrapers, or too soft, in the case of high-density residential neighborhoods. So urban settings are mostly a no-go. But in suburban settings, it's a different story. Outside the city, where buildings are fewer and farther between, the winds have room to roam. This was the case in Reno's more rural North Valleys, where Geddes set up 3 turbines at the Stead Water Treatment Plant.
They actually work very well.
And they're working well for some homeowners in suburban settings. Take Marcia Cardinal, who lives just outside Reno's North Valleys. Her flat desert homestead is surrounded by a sea of sagebrush, but rising high into the sky above her backyard is, you guessed it, her very own turbine.
And that top spire is standing straight up, so you mount everything on the ground, And then you anchor it with these wire cables, which are affixed to concrete and rebar together.
Now, if the words backyard wind turbine make you think of a mini golf course, think again.
It's 34 feet to the top of the main.
The main being short for main shaft, which holds three rotor blades. Each blade is curved at the end like a scythe. This turbine looks a lot like the kind you'd find at a big commercial wind farm, just smaller. Because it's smaller, it of course generates a lot less power, but still enough to reduce her and her husband's carbon footprint, which is why she bought it in the first place, to help the environment. An added bonus, it slashes $30 from their monthly electricity bill.
The wind is free. I mean, this turbine will turn with as little as 5 miles an hour wind. So that's an afternoon breeze. So
the wind may be free, but of course the turbine isn't. This one costs $6,000, then another $6,000 to lay the concrete foundation, plus a few hundred more for permitting fees. The turbine has been up and running for about 10 years, though, so a lot of those costs have been recouped through energy savings.
It's almost paid off.
I ask her what she means by almost.
Oh, it's probably another 10 or 15 years. We'll probably be dead by then.
Slowly but surely, it is paying off for Cardinal. And that's the thing. There's a big difference between a homeowner who just hopes her turbine pays for itself in the long term and a power company that wants its turbines to turn a profit in the short term. So far, the economics of wind power just don't play out at the commercial scale, says renewable energy consultant Rebecca Wagner, who points to the state's strong solar and geothermal development.
You know, it'd be nice to be able to balance that out with a good, strong wind portfolio, especially at night. But right now, I just don't see that investment in Nevada.
Wagner isn't ruling out future technological advancements, which she says could possibly harness Nevada's strong gusts. But at least for now, the economic windfall isn't there. Benjamin Payne, KUNR News.
This story was produced in collaboration with the Mick Hitchcock Project for Visualizing Science at the University of Nevada, Reno's Reynolds School of Journalism, where Benjamin Payne is a graduate student.